But Nikki, you don't know Tommy? Tattoo Tommy there? I guess you don't drink down at JC's, huh?
Who's the one who said you
Yeah, you talked to me yesterday about the beer.
Yeah, that's walking.
Yeah, tattoo Tommy.
Yeah. We got into an altercation.
Did you?
Sure. Yeah. Shut up. We had a bar?
No.
I applied just last month.
Because my daughter goes to St. Mary's and I was pretty. Oh, in the back or something.
Back.
Is he trying to get
young?
I do it as well.
It had to be a while though, yeah, because I feel like he's been at the.
He's not ever made it.
Oh, gosh.
He was out of it.
We get some traction out of that, but I just submitted our application.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of that.
It does.
Similar to what, Sal has done, Sal Fashino, yeah. Yeah, well, you got it. So the Minister Fera, to the, his master's teaching, then the tip.
What's the matter, Carla? No awkward, honey. I spent my whole day feeling awkward in my door.
We're gonna get our backs.
That's exactly what she just said.
There are pens in there. Yeah, you ready to go? You got it.
We're okay. But it's the pen that you gave me. I forgot.
We can just like fucking get this started.
So I said, oh my god, no way. Jim. It'll be okay.
Right.
Now that you picked
up your bag off the floor. Okay. So I got the flowers.
I think I need my glasses today.
This is the word.
My glasses every day.
Oh my god, will you stop? I can't type a password.
You got a good face over there.
Because I, dude, I have my contact cam.
Laura.
And I can't see.
Oh my god. Frickin' Laura, she's always away. Lucky duck.
Yeah.
You gotta tell her I miss her. Of course.
Must be nice.
I do. I miss Laura so much. Did you? I love Laura. She, God, she's incredible. She really is.
All right.
You know, and she's always involved in what she's involved in for the right reasons. You know, and that's important. Very supportive.
Oh,
is it not working for you now too?
Because I think it's only coming up like executive session.
Yes.
What the heck?
Because I think that. Yeah, I can.
Okay. Trying to get the meeting started. Please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, I'm going to take roll call. Melissa Mangillo.
Here.
Carla Malerba.
Here.
Jim Gilday.
Here.
Holly Orzetti.
Here.
Rebecca O'Hara. Ted Marcuccio.
Here.
Dan Foley.
Here.
Erica Nuzzo.
Here.
And Kim Tovar. We are all in attendance, so we do have a quorum to proceed.
Thank you. Any additions or deletions to the agenda that one?
Not to my knowledge.
Anybody from the public who would like to speak?
I would.
Just give your name and address, please.
Gina and Michael Silkoff, 42 Strang Road, parents of a 2021 and 2025 graduate. We're here tonight to discuss the email that I sent to all of you back in July that nobody bothered to address, with the exception of Mrs. Orzetti. I'm sorry you weren't on the board yet. I believe I had some serious issues outlined in that letter that deserved to be addressed. My daughter, who later this evening during this meeting will be recognized for an AP award that she helped the school get, for lack of a better term, was severely bullied her last 4 months of school. We were told time and time again from administration there was nothing they could do. We're here tonight to once again ask for policy changes to be made. We're particularly concerned with social media bullying and the fact that we were repeatedly told there was nothing that could be done about it because my child and her friends' names were not in the TikTok. I could care less if the million of people in TikTok world saw and had no idea who was being referred to. But every student in the school, every teacher, and every administrator who saw it knew exactly who it was about. I begged administration to do something, but the creator was never addressed. And that TikTok got shared and shared again and again by students in the school. The students were commenting on it and adding to it. I sent a snapshot of one of the TikToks to all of you. Two of the students who repeatedly shared and commented and added were also two of the students who got arrested at a track meet we were hosting. I can't help but wonder if they'd been disciplined for the TikToks, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I believe I was at more Board of Ed meetings last year than your senior class president. I think we need to put a number on how many they are expected to attend. If that's already in play, then I apologize, but I wouldn't know since no one reached out to me. Also, if the senior class president gets any disciplinary actions taken against them, we need to reconsider them speaking at graduation. Myself and another parent were told after our children were harassed by the class president that she would not be allowed to speak, only to have Doc Conway rescind that and allow her to speak. His excuse, he was allowing her to speak to protect my child, which makes me laugh. They did nothing to protect them. We can talk about the day they allowed my child to get threatened and screamed at for 35 minutes and did nothing to protect my child. This was Doc, Miss Olson, Mr. Coplin, and seven teachers. Mr. Coplin was the only one trying to bring order to the assembly, an assembly they created to protect their bullies, not my child. I've also written a formal letter of complaint to the State Board of Education regarding Ms. Giannis, the teacher who was allowed to start all of the bullying, and it took over 3 months to investigate her behavior. Let that sink in. School was ending by the time anything was handed down to her. But I was once again told this was done to protect her. Obviously, you as the Board of Ed have some issues here that need to be seriously addressed and not hidden. And if we get anything from this, learn from this, and do better by all of your students. Thank you for your time.
Anybody else in the public who would like to speak? Anybody else in the public who would like to speak? Okay, seeing no one else, going at the meeting. Okay, item number three, College Board Advanced Placement Scholar Recognition Doc.
Yes, I'd like to ask Ms. Olson.
All right, good evening, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to be able to formally announce what has already been shared by the Valley Independent, that Derby High School has received recognition and being placed on the Advanced Placement College Board Honor Roll. It's something that we're very proud of, and I'd like to be able to share not only about the school's overall success with our increased advanced placement program, but also individual achievements of students. The recognition that we received is actually based on the 24-25 school year. So while we'll be recognizing some students that are currently still enrolled at Derby High School, there is a number of students that are reflected from the class of 2025 who've already graduated. We'll tell you a little bit about that. But advanced placement are rigorous courses that are sponsored by the College Board. It is a curriculum. It is a national curriculum. So a course that student is taking here in Derby High School is the same course and the same national exam that a student in Tennessee, Alaska, or everywhere in the country are taking the same exam. Derby High School over the past 6 years has increased the number of AP classes from 5 AP classes to 12 AP classes. It's a big achievement for our students because they are being given the opportunity to take college level courses, which if they score a 3 or higher, have the ability to earn college credits. So a student who takes every single one of those 12 classes has the potential to earn up to 36 credits at Derby High School. And that's a tremendous savings for families from a tuition standpoint. But from a time standpoint as well, those students now can be relieved from taking those classes when they enroll in college. From subjects that we have represented, we have math, science, social studies, English, art, and computer science represented in our AP programming. This current school year, we've added a new course. It is an AP seminar class, which we're very proud of. The reason why AP seminar was added is because it is considered an entry level course. While our AP students are typically juniors and seniors, having AP seminar allows us to encourage more underclassmen to participate. It's considered the first in the series of AP courses. This actually fits into our school's overall academic programming because it aligns with college and career readiness. We've actually not only increased the number of classes that we're offering, but what we're most excited about is that we've increased access and enrollment. So the number of students that are enrolled in our courses has tripled over the past 6 years. One of the things that we're most proud about is that we've removed any barriers. So whereas in previous years, it required a student to have a teacher recommendation to take an AP course, we've actually removed any barrier. A student who feels that they are capable and looking to challenge themselves can go ahead and sign up for an AP exam. Up here up on the screen, you'll see, and we're pretty excited that we have a broad representation of our teachers, some veteran teachers, some new teachers, but through our science, math, social studies, English, and even our world language departments are represented here from our teachers. The achievements of our students is really a reflection of the work and commitment of our teachers, and we are so incredibly proud of them. Each teacher who is assigned a course in the AP programming actually attends a summer institute to get trained so that they can be prepared to teach the course. Mr. Butterworth, one of our social studies teacher, actually has gone on to become a scorer of the national exam. He has done that for our AP US Gov class. This year, Mr. Moore, our math teacher, was actually just selected to be a national reader for the for the AP calculus exam. Last school year, you might remember Ms. King. She was recognized by the College Board for helping to increase diversity in the computer science, in us having a representation of women in that course, which is underrepresented. So we're very proud of the work of our department. If you could move to the next slide, the achievement that Derby High School was recognized with was earning the silver recognition on the AP Scholar School Honor Roll. There are three separate categories that we've received recognition for. One is college culture, and that's distinction is recognized as the percentage of students from the graduating class. So this is for the class of 2025 who took at least one AP exam during high school. You'll notice that we had 41 out of 64 students. So a 64%, we were just one student shy of making the gold status for that. But we've really pushed the having students be able to take those courses, creating access. The other is around college credit. We had a gold recognition for that in terms of the number of the percentage of students who earned a three or higher. That is kind of the benchmark for colleges who will accept a score on an AP exam and award credit for it. And then the last one is that college optimization, and that is the platinum level, the highest level of that distinction. And it recognizes the support that students have in taking five or more AP exams during high school, with one completed during 9th or 10th grade. So getting kids exposed to college rigorous work at the undergraduate, at the underclassmen level. So we were really proud of that recognition from the AP program. And then it led to us really wanting to recognize our students. So as we go through there, we do have some students that are here in the room with us. When we do call your name, I do just want to please ask that you stand if you're here with us today. There are some families and students that are online as well. We will hold until the end, and I'd like to be able to recognize them with one collective applause if we could. But for an AP Scholars, this recognizes students who have taken three or more AP exams and earned a three or higher. So three or more exams. You'll notice that we've identified the student if they've graduated and where they are attending school. It's pretty impressive where our students, the opportunities that they've moved on to and whatever major that they're pursuing. So in the AP Scholar range, we have Kayla Adams, class of 2025, attending Karen University with a major in criminal justice. Also, we have Gianna Atker, class of 2025, who's attending Mount Holyoke College with a major in neuroscience. We have Ferd Amarte, class of 2025, attending University of Wisconsin. You may also remember he's a student who enrolled with the U.S. Marines. He is a major in biomedical engineering and architecture as an AP scholar. We also have Raylan Harris, class of 2025, attending Western New England University with a major in biology and environmental science. And Vanessa Nguyen, class of 2025, attending Brown University with a major in economics as an AP scholar. And then Nick Sheridan, class of 2025, attending Purchase College with a major in economics. And lastly, in this category, we also have Cassie Silkoff, class of 2025, attending Suffolk University with a major in psychology. We have two more in this category. Quentin Simiao, who's attending Clarkson University with a major in data science, also as an AP scholar. And lastly, as an AP scholar, is Suzvine Mikkel. She is a current senior right now, class of 2026. And we know has great aspirations for college and beyond. So those are students that have scored three or higher on three or more exams. We're really proud also of our AP scholars with honors. And these are students who earned a three or higher on four or more exams. Their average actually has to be a 3.25 for the AP exams. And that goes to Kevin McGuire. He is attending Oberlin Conservatory of Music. With a major in music, piano performance. And also here with us tonight, thank you, in person, we have a class of 2026, Carter Ruggiero, an AP scholar with honors. And then lastly, the highest recognition is an AP scholar with distinction. And we are very fortunate. We have one student who represented this category. They have to earn a three or higher on five or more exams. and their average has to be an average score of 3.5. And that went to Brianna Kling. So she, yes. Brianna is attending the Ohio State, and she is in an exploratory major right now. So those were the students of distinction. But what we also wanted to do was be able to recognize our students who earned a 3 or higher on at least one exam in their current, in their last school year. The reason why we want to celebrate this is because sometimes kids don't see the importance or the value of earning a 3 or higher on exams. It may be short-sighted of them, maybe a little bit of fatigue at the end of the school year. Maybe for seniors, it's a little case of senioritis. But when we start recognizing that these scores mean something to students individually and their families in terms of cost savings, in time savings, it's also a reflection of us as a school, as a community, and we're really proud and we want students to know the value that it creates for themselves and for us at Derby High School. So we are very proud of the following students from grade 10, our current class of 2027. If we read from top over, Kezia Amarte, Luke Kamara, Sophia Chachik, William Clark, Melanie Fearon, Mac Gray, Shea Gray, Alexander Karaliva, Ashlyn Kish, Jake LaBelle, Ryan LaBelle, Julianne Mayer, Kenyelle Moya, Colton Shields, and Luca Ventimiglia. We can give a round of applause for our 10th graders. Moving into our current class of 2026 seniors, they were 11th graders when they took their tests. This is, we're proud to celebrate Haley Cartagena, Danella Delaja, Lazare Delval, Jason Drayton, Paige Elliott, Gavin Lagliva, Nidat Masiat, Sarah Porrick, and Sophia Rudis. Give them a round of applause. And then lastly, the students who have already made their way into their college career and beyond, our 12th graders, class of 2025, earning a 3 or higher on at least one exam, Samantha Barillas Rivera, Seth Escalera, Niaja Ferguson, Quinlan Gray, Joseph Esquerdo, Vincent Trin, and Benjamin Weitzler. So congrats to them. And if you haven't had a chance to see, if you Google on Valley Independent and see, they did a really nice article, really giving a little bit more of the backstory. There were 131 exams that were taken last school year, and these students reflect the very best of what's been happening at Derby High School in those courses. So I'd like to give a final congratulations to our teachers for the work in these courses, our school counselors who have really been supporters of our students in having them in role in these classes, especially to our students, but also to the Board of Education. Thank you for helping us support that through funding for them, our teachers, to go to training and the materials that we need to sustain this courses and the growth over time. So thank you and congratulations to our students.
And on behalf of the board, I'd like to congratulate the students for their great accomplishment, and the teachers and also the administrators. We're very proud of you. Thank you. Okay, number 4, All-State football, Alan Gaddison.
Good evening, one. How are you? Everybody good tonight? So we'd like to honor Alan Gaddison. If you come on up, Alan. Alan is a junior on our football team. Alan plays mostly defensive tackle, also plays the offensive line. As a junior, Alan had 103 tackles, 20 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 interception, and 2 fumble recoveries. Alan earned himself all NVL honors as well as All-State for Class S, Class SS for defense. So congratulations to Alan. Your mom's ago.
Congratulations, Alan.
Thank you.
Make sure the camera's pointing.
All right, and at this time, I'd like to call up Coach Joe Musanti to speak about Joe Capel.
We're in trouble.
I thought it was 60 minutes. You said that was. First of all, thank you to everybody here, and especially the board for recognizing Joel for his accomplishment. And so Joel finished seventh out of 155 runners in the Class SS State Championship, which earned him the all-Class SS All-State honors this year. Now, in cross-country, the top 12 runners automatically make the All-State team. So as a sophomore, Joel came in 13th. Talk about an unlucky number. 13th, he missed the All-State by one spot, 6 seconds. But this year, he was determined that wasn't going to happen again. And he came in 7th with a great race. And congratulations, Joel. That was huge this year. Also, I just want to make mention of the fact that Joel is also one of our captains. What's it? Oh, yeah. Come on up. Joel is also one of our captains and provides excellent leadership. He brings a lot of energy to the program. If you've ever been to a meet, you'll notice that every school that's at the meet, at least one person knows Joel. They come up to him. He's like a celebrity when we go to all of our meets. But he's been a good leader. He's been a good citizen. And we look forward to next year and seeing what he can do. Incidentally, he just came in 2nd in the Class S indoor track 1,000-meter race. And he's competing in the state open this Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. And then we're looking forward to the outdoor season. So.
Ian, hold it the other way. There you go. All right, what's next?
Take it up.
Your student representative couldn't make it tonight. So last. Again, congratulations to both Allison and Joel for a great accomplishment. We're skipping over 6. Our rep is not here tonight. Staff recognition, Dr. Collins.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Ms. Olson, Ms. Caggiano to join us at the podium in recognition of our National School Counseling Week for both Ms. Anat, who is online with us tonight at Derby Middle School, Brian Nutcher from Derby High School and Jenna Strosky from Derby High School, who every day come in with one thing in mind, to support our kids through school and beyond. So turn it over to Ms. Olson and Ms. Caggiano.
I don't know which one's on.
They're both on.
Both on. Here we go. All right. I know Ms. Siegel had joined us from online. She got a little bit of a ride in each day, but just want to take the chance to publicly thank Ms. Siegel for all she does, like Dr. Conway said, helping with our students to be successful. It plays a vital role for all of our kids, our eighth graders, especially making transition to high school. But it's no easy feat. I won't say how many years you've been here, Ms. Siegel. I can see you on the big screen. I won't say it. But it's been quite a few years, and I'm grateful to have her here in the middle school. And I know we celebrate this for 1 week, but obviously it's a vital role for all of our schools. So we truly appreciate all that you do.
Thank you, Ms. Caggiano.
I'll echo the same sentiment. We're very lucky to be able to have Jan Ostrowski and Brian Nutcher up at the high school. The work that they do really supports students, not only today, but tomorrow and beyond. The work that they've been doing right now in supporting our students in their preparation for college and getting ready for the big step in their lives, we're very excited about. But tonight, you're also going to hear in just a little bit about a big lift that they've undertaken in preparing our program of studies. They do so much for our students and our staff and are really considered a tremendous part of our team, and we're very lucky to have them. So celebrating them today and always for School Counselor Appreciation Week. Thank you.
Yep.
Wait all night, Tom. We're done.
Hey, congratulations to all our counselors.
For you guys tonight. So.
Big old. Okay, at this time, this is a national bus staff school Sunday. It's not a day that goes by here in Derby that I don't get up and thank these gentlemen. Maybe he couldn't be with us tonight, his son's wrestling, but they come in every day, and we say this with such sincerity, putting their life on the line. You know, there's not a week that you don't see in the media today of shootings somewhere throughout the country, at school, at university, at mall. And several years ago, this board and our community supported a recommendation to move toward having armed security officers, police officers in our building in order to protect for anybody that might decide to enter with a weapon, with one thing in mind, to kill and injure staff, kids, our family. And these four gentlemen and Andy, every single day come in here knowing that that could happen in our buildings any given day. Still get up every day. Our kids can come to school in an environment in which they feel safe against that intruders. That our staff can feel safe against intruders coming into our buildings because of what these gentlemen do single day. So can't thank them enough. This just happens one day in a year that we recognize it nationally, but not a day it doesn't go by in my heart. All I know is
thank you, board, for supporting me.
And thank you and congratulations to our officers. Okay, we're on eight, I think.
Yes.
Okay, birthday's Melissa. You want to give out your age? 29?
I'll make you older if I do. It's me and Sal, right?
Yeah.
Sal, Sal was online.
Sal. Sorry, I didn't know Sal.
Happy birthday, Sal.
Happy birthday, Sal.
Here he is.
Thank you.
Okay, ma'am, will you make a motion to go into executive session and then you can cut the cake?
Sure.
I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education enter into executive session to review the appointment list for new hires, discuss a request for leave of absence, and the superintendent of schools is invited to attend.
Okay, second.
Second.
Mr. Foley, all in favor?
Right, just a quick discussion.
Yes.
I mean, 13 of the 14 people are reappointments. And we only have one hire. Do we need the executive session?
Well, we did the last one.
We just approved the last one without executive session, the leave request.
I don't think there's any issue unless you guys have questions.
No, I'm all set.
Okay, so what do we do? Just
draw the motion.
Okay. Draw the motion.
I'd like to make a recommendation to waive executive session for this evening.
Okay. Who is that? Okay, Carolyn. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, so let's cut the cake.
I think that'll be probably next.
Oh, yeah.
We'll probably do that after the reappointment and then.
Then everyone will go.
No problem.
Okay, you want to make that motion, please?
I'm sorry, for which one?
For this one.
11? Okay. I'd like to make a recommendation that the Board of Education approve the request for a leave of absence. What? Yeah. Y'all, you guys. They're tricking me, Dan. What's wrong with them? I know. Mary Ann, you got that in the minutes, right?
It's up on the board, sorry.
I'd like to make a recommendation that the Board of Education approves the appointment of new hires as recommended by the Superintendent of Schools.
Second.
Second.
Second by Melissa. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, why don't we do... ask Mr. Ciccarini to join us at the podium for introductions of our fair educator at Bradley School.
True. Definitely.
I'd like to invite...
I'm sorry. Ms. Pavlusky joining him at the podium.
I would like to invite up to the podium Mrs. Damaris Battaglia, please. So Damaris comes to us with quite the resume. This is a second career for her. Longtime career in higher education, formerly Director of Finance and Administration for the Yale University Department of Pathology. If I get anything wrong, just kick me. Longtime Senior Director of Admissions for Rutgers Medical School. I wish I had known you before my daughter went to Maine. And then Administrator prior to that to Columbia in Columbia University. So this is a second career. We're putting our kids in great hands. She's going to be joining us as a paraeducator in our Academic Learning Center for our third, fourth, and fifth grade students. She did have a chance to come and meet the teacher and meet the students and get to know them and work with them a little bit. And I think the things that stood out to Angela and I during the interview process and also came across during Damaris's visit was just a genuine interest in working with students. A real willingness to learn as much as possible, just really open to feedback and wanting to know as much as she could about how to support kids and what type of capacity building was available to her. And really probably the most important thing when you're talking about a learning center is just a lot of experience collaborating with other people. And it takes a lot of collaboration to make a learning center be as successful as possible. And we think Damaris is going to be an amazing addition. She's going to be a great role model for our kids and for our colleagues. And we are very, very excited to welcome her to the Bradley School community.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be in it. Pedestrian Moffitt, Athletic Director Moffitt, to podium, along with our
hiring committee.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hello, everyone. Again, hello, sir. We are proud to welcome Stone Belzo as the newest member of our coaching staff. Coach Belzo is a former standout athlete at Middletown High School, where he earned All-State honors twice and All-Conference recognition three times as a quarterback and a strong safety. He continued his playing career at Springfield College, where he also began his coaching journey as a student assistant. Over the past 8 years, Coach Belzo has gained valuable experience at multiple levels of football. He has served as a defensive coordinator and secondary coach at Middletown High School and New Britain High School, and has coached professionally with the Idaho Horsemen of the AWFC Professional Indoor Football League, as well as the Langenthal Invaders in Europe. Coach Belzo is widely respected for his leadership, discipline, and commitment to developing student athletes both on the field and in the classroom. He emphasizes fundamentals, teamwork, and mental toughness while fostering a positive accountable team culture. His players consistently grow in technical skill, physical conditioning, and confidence, with many advancing to higher levels of competition. His coaching philosophy centers on hard work, resilience, and strong character. We're excited to welcome Coach Belzo to the Derby High School family and look forward to the leadership, energy, and experience he will bring to our football program. Coach Belzo has brought numerous family members with him this evening. We also have a couple members of our current football team that decided to come and meet Coach tonight. So very excited about that.
We could then do the Stone crew and then with family, all right, and with the players.
That's a cool man here.
Melissa, can you please take the photo?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. I could have made
this. Yeah, no, I feel like I'm ready. But
I could not.
All this. Wow. What is
he? Large? Medium. Yeah, I should.
Yeah. Like that. Your friend. Which you know.
That's a good friend.
Is it bothering
you?
Oh, you are so good. Make sure you make your list. This is so fun. Did we get the flower? No. The flower. Okay, all right,
awesome. Especially in a gym.
Yeah.
And so.
Ina says, I don't
know. That's a
fun
one.
She says, they run. Yeah,
because I got to
have it. I can't.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
It's about, as I say, 26, right?
Oh, yeah. With this all football players, isn't it?
Yes.
No, I mean graduate. Yeah, we have the numbers. We always have the numbers.
So here we are.
Hey, how you been?
Good.
It's
That's awesome, Paul Shriana. Yeah, that was well.
That's what my family.
My kids are all there. We can miss them.
Oh, yeah.
He's like 5'5". Josh is 5'6".
Okay, it's time to cut the cake.
Of course. I'm like,
Betty, he wants everybody to know him. Coach Stone, not Belgium. Coach Belgium. I guess the brothers are first comedians by Coach
Well, when I social media.
Bye, Buster. See you tomorrow. You guys scooted out. Bye. Good to see you guys. Is everybody's EDUs done? Boys, does anybody want cake before they leave?
Stone, it's going. Does he have support staff? Does he have support? Do they have during
that? Yeah, they. Did we just reappoint him tonight?
The front
gate
says unreal.
Nice take. No, but they're assuming that we already reappointed them home or they're paid. But he can be part of that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yes, I give you 5 pages.
I have no idea.
I don't know where to send them.
I thought they got
from Blanchett. And I got my son now, like this next order. That's disappointing.
Why don't you guys do the jackets?
I don't know. They got them from somewhere else. Ronnie used to do them. I don't know.
Jen must know.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him. I know that Joel's EDUs are done.
Hi, I'm in a board meeting. But no, I'm good. Yeah. We're on a break. I'm so sorry. We shouldn't do the picture. Yeah, no, the plant employees aren't there. We got to pick different.
Are your EDUs done?
Yes, definitely.
Everybody's EDUs.
I recommended the 18th, remember? Because it was the 19th. We talked about it.
Better. I don't want you getting in trouble.
No. I picked 2 18s. You got it.
18th. So that means, yeah, that, yeah. Jeanette wouldn't know the holiday. She was probably pick the date that worked for Shindy.
He was disappointed because the kid that he wrestled for the third and fourth grade, he's the kid from the season 2 years ago. So they've kept touch and they're good friends. And they're like a matchup. Like Abe's foot was screwed up. And he's the kid said he's like a big, like I got, I told Abe by luck. He says, he would have beat this. And like he was winning by points, and he just got in a tough position. It was like a quick, but there was no ball. So Gabe was very disappointed, but he's like, you know what? It's okay because it's Russell's senior year. He's a hard worker. And he was a really good sport about it. He's very nervous.
Sorry, hon. You're not. Can you pick out your body?
Yeah. I would love that. He's just nervous about this weekend. Because then he won't win. So.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They were together for 3 years.
I would be here.
Yeah, I was devastated. It was devastating. But, you know. All right, so. She's coming home every night. So right. It's like, and you expect to look at
later on in there.
You expect it to sit home and right. Bang and check.
Yeah. This is coming from which I was here again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would.
And he's such a good boy that he would definitely
would do it.
Oh, yeah, would totally do it.
You know, this email passed me.
For him. But don't worry about it. We're
Oh, God, he had no interest in that.
Which may this be that point to me.
Oh my God.
I hope I remember it.
Yeah, no, I didn't even bother with them.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
All right, so let me try mine.
Okay. I don't know what the heck the problem is. It was working, and then it just decided to just not work at all.
Christmas spray. My Derby account stains.
No shit.
I got an email.
Oh, yay.
All right, so. Let's just issue an Apple ID.
Not to my computer.
Well, your Apple ID might be the same. It depends on how you set it up.
All right, let's try that. I'm praying that this is it. Try this.
Did you ever get to this step, though?
Yeah.
You've got to this step before?
Yeah, and I did the diagnostic test, and it comes back nothing, and then it has me write, like, a little.
All right, so.
Say.
That's. And Carmine can't get in?
I haven't got a chance to see him.
All right, so I'm gonna talk to Andrew tomorrow.
Okay.
The other IT tech, he works at the elementary school.
I can swing by tomorrow morning, if anything.
I don't have his hours. He could be at Irving first. He could be at Bradley.
Okay.
But I will tell him we got to get him back on.
Yeah, please, then, because I was I know connected. There's a system.
I know, so.
Oh, yeah.
The issue is your email address in Derby.
Yeah.
It's not on the level that they're allowing back. They don't want loud.
I do.
So this happened for me.
Yep.
T directors.
Okay.
Post. But in all districts.
Yeah.
I grabbed the wrong side. Yeah. Now I grabbed the wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, we're not updating that. But the level there too, that's probably what's happening because my email went right in. Which I know that I've had my ass.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting out. So I'm just telling you, Ken.
Thank you. And Ken was, they connected. He went to see Carmine today. Carmine was a
pet pal. Oh, did?
He did today.
So that's
true. Yeah. Probably
would have.
All right.
Anyway,
thank you for trying.
I'm sorry you
didn't ask you, Jason.
Listen, and Andrew,
I'm sorry you didn't ask you, Jason.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Zach, do I have a minute to run to the restroom?
Chair,
restroom really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Gotcha. She might have. You're right. You'd have to do it. Yeah, I guess we could have your derby guest one forward to your. You could do that on your personal one too. You would have to go to your so even if you forwarded from your personal one, it's not too big of a file. It's not the time. You have to reverse that in the music.
Okay, it's those numbers.
Now it's just like. Yes. Yeah. You did. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't either.
I have Danny Jones.
That's how
it's Dina did. Because we don't present the bid. That was for the bid. So the city opens the bid. They open the bid. That's why they can't.
Nice to see you, Joe. Life treating you good?
You good?
I'm glad.
Dan.
Can't say it out loud. Are the microphones on?
Yes.
It's
winter, so I hardly see them.
I already told him, I read exactly what you were.
How you been? Excellent.
The internet's not working.
It's close to close to the Perry
part. Just write that. You can fill it in later.
That's where it is.
Okay.
That's where the hotel is.
Oh, it's up on your trail.
Thanks. I got to figure out where to.
No, you're not from the written book. As a paraeducator, like we always have open with parents. And he also is 20 credit for his
I'm glad you're planning ahead. Okay. 18, oh my gosh. Does she? You look great. You look great. You look a lot better than I do.
Yeah.
It's my hat. Now my hat. What's going on? I wonder what happened. Did everybody else's internet go down too?
Here?
Yeah.
I didn't plug my MacBook in today, so I don't know. My promo. Usually I do.
It's still on. I'm still on.
What the heck?
We isolated the product from the water.
My hack spot, like, shut off.
Are we ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
March is
I'm going to take a picture of this.
I didn't see it scheduled.
Oh, I think I'm back.
Okay, because it's kind of like in the.
That was very weird.
Right, so it's the third. I'm sure I say for when you go do the thing. So March 3rd at 6
Take care.
Yeah.
Good night.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, we're going to get started again.
I didn't take the gavel with me, Ken. Where'd it go?
No. Back with the get it. It's
in the box. I didn't steal it. I didn't take it with me.
Can't you bring yours?
Huh? Doc didn't want it used as a weapon, so he put it away.
Do that. Right. Doc was hiding it on you.
My mouth's in the
I just wanted to do that.
Now somebody take
bye.
Away.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, we're back in session here. We're in number 11, I believe.
Okay, again. I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the request for a leave of absence from April 15th, 2026 through June 30th, 2026, as recommended by the Superintendent of Schools.
Second.
Second by Mr. Gilday. Okay, Doc.
You have the request in the packet. We have a current intern that has been with us since the beginning of the year through Sacred Heart in their teaching program that will be able to fill in during those weeks. First week of that is vacation, but she'll be able to fill in. And before that period of time, she'll be in the classroom working with those same students for a to make for a smooth transition.
Anybody have any questions? How about the There's an insurance and everything.
That's up. That's up to this board.
I mean, do we have to do that?
Yeah, that's part of the. Yeah.
Anybody have any suggestion?
More.
Well, this person that's going to be on leave. Do we get that continue with the insurance? They're not going to get paid.
They will not get paid. It's unpaid, but the insurance is up to you guys. Let me so if in any month you work a day, your insurance is covered. So if you're starting in April 1st, even if you left in the middle of the month, the insurance is carried through to the end of the month. So you're really looking at a month and a half of insurance total.
And this person's still making their contribution. We're not doing that.
They make their own. Yes, yeah. They have to make their
contribution. I mean, for the amount of time that it's going to be, it would be ridiculous, in my opinion, to take her off.
Agree.
It's not worth it.
I agree.
Agree.
I just, I'm, what is the amount of time?
Approximately 6 weeks.
No. April
15th. The start time is not 100%, but we put April 15th in the event it's that.
Unpaid.
So you're saying continue with the insurance?
I would say so.
I would agree with that.
We have to vote right now.
Yes, yeah, it's part of the maybe part of the motion. If you
okay, so this is a motion within the motion.
No, well, if we could amend the motion to include sure. With
can
insurance.
Can you amend your motion to with include medical yeah. place?
Yes, I'd like to amend my initial motion. And then I would like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the request for a leave of absence from April 15th, 2026 through June 30th, 2026 to also include this individual to keep their insurance at their expense as recommended by the superintendent of school.
Well, to keep their insurance,
set at their
with, expense. Keeping their contribution.
Their contribution
yeah.
as recommended by
I would,
the superintendent
I would of second that. I would. Modify, amend my second.
Okay. We have the motion and the second. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carried.
I'd like to ask Principal Olson to join us at the podium again.
Shall I do my recommendation first or no?
All right, so we are here with our annual rollout of the program of studies. We are really excited about the format and showcasing all that Derby High School has to offer our students. The program of studies is the tool that will be used for students to select their classes. We've done a lot of work across all departments to look at our offerings and really to evaluate from a course interest level that our students have expressed over the years to think about what courses have potentially been under-enrolled and maybe move off and start looking at some new courses to offer. If you look, there's two documents that are linked in the board packet. One is the full, complete 58-page program of studies. But I thought it would be easiest for you to just look at the executive summary that is a snapshot of some of the changes and highlights that we wanted to bring to your attention. First, if you, as you review the beginning, just highlighting, we have 12 AP courses that we talked about earlier. We've expanded our partnerships in this upcoming program of studies to not only include the longstanding partnership with Housatonic Community College for our manufacturing program, but also looking at UConn as a much stronger partner. In years past, we've offered art, some Italian courses, and a history Western traditions class through UConn. We are very excited that we've now expanded our offerings with UConn. 9 additional courses have been proposed. Most of them have already been approved by UConn, which means that our teachers have gone through a rigorous evaluation process of their credentials. They've looked at a syllabus that the teachers have written proposing their courses and have been approved by the departments up at the university. These 9 courses that we're adding right now, just from a dollars and cents and what it means to our kids. So we've talked about an AP course. If you earn a specific score, you can get college credit. These UConn classes are considered dual enrollment. So our students will be Derby High School students, but also dually enrolled at the University of Connecticut. They will have a UConn transcript if they take these courses, 9 additional courses times 3 credits each. The kids have the potential to earn 27 credits. That's almost an entire freshman year under their belts if they took every single one of those courses. That'll bring our total to 13 classes from UConn. A UConn class 3 credits costs $875 for tuition. So from a family's perspective, if you took all 13 of our UConn classes, your student would be saving $11,375 in tuition and the time that we mentioned before. So if you go to page 3, as you scroll into the past the introduction, I'm just going to tap onto a couple of highlights. So Allied Health this year, you know that we did our partnership with Griffin Hospital for nursing. We are moving that program to an after-school program. We found that that was the model that Griffin is supporting right now for long-term enrollment of students. So our students will take an independent study with us. They will get transportation down to Griffin Hospital and continue their internships with Bishop Wickey Health Center. In business this year, we're excited that we are going to be offering a new UConn business personal finance class. That will be in addition to the regular CP course. So students now, as the graduation requirement, students will have the ability, if they so choose, to take a more rigorous option of that personal finance UConn credit. We also have a new English course that's been proposed, has not yet been approved. But that will be a UConn seminar studio writing. Our English department actually also created 2 of their own classes based on student input. We're super excited about a thematic literature class that'll be focused on crime and mystery. We think that one's going to be a very interesting class that kids will choose. And also a world mythology literature class that was created. One of our math teachers was approved to be teaching a UConn math course that will replace a current course, so we don't have to worry that our math courses would be under enrolled.
So, we have to make a motion. You didn't make the motion.
Yeah.
To make the motion to approve the.
Sure. I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the 2026-2027 Derby High School Program of Studies.
Second. Rebecca's name. Okay, you can continue.
Thank you. And so that there'll be an elementary discrete math that kids can earn college credit. We've added some theater classes just to support our students in the arts. And then through science, we've actually replaced 2 of our current courses that Derby High School offers. One is a marine science course, a CP course that we've offered for many years. We've converted that into a UConn ECE, Early College Experience course, as with the environmental science. Currently, it has been run as an AP course. It is right now still in the approval stages. Our teacher has been approved. Some of our resources, we're still updating to make that a UConn class. We also have what I'm very excited about is coming out of our social studies department. And I think actually everyone at the table right now, this course will get them very excited. We thought about ways that we can expand our students' understanding and pride in Derby community. That was kind of built out of some work with the Valley Community Foundation, where they are looking to really build Valleyism, is what they're calling it. And so there's a new course, Local, State, and U.S. History, and we are connecting Derby's past, present, and future to our nation. We think that this course can be run through helping our students really understand our community itself, how it links with the greater needs of the state and with the United States as well. One of the things that we thought would be really exciting about it is to have this run through primary sources, oral histories, and local records. When we think about the great opportunities right here with the Derby Historical Society, with the fathers of Derby who have great oral histories and traditions that they can pass along, We thought a culminating activity for that course would be an end of semester breakfast where our students present a project to the community and invite community members to come in and at the conclusion be able to share great stories of the past and let the students share their ideas for the future. So it's something that we're really excited about. Lastly, we are
there for a quick second.
Yes.
Just the timeliness of this, but a Mr. Gilday, right before the meeting, brought this from the Derby Historical Society, but it's a book written on the 350 years of Derby by Joseph M. Dorenzo, and we have a copy for each of our libraries and each of our schools.
It's nice. Wonderful. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
I have a question, actually. Yeah. That book that Joan Payton had provided as well, is that something that we could also use for this course?
100%. We're still putting together the curriculum for it, but you have to think of all of the things that were presented. And we now have multiple of the books that Joan information put together. Part of the course.
Every day.
But I know you're about not just the ball derby, the utilities, but athletics
but
too.
The people, yeah, all of it.
It's pretty. It's going to be a fascinating course.
Yeah, we wanted to get our kids out into the community when we were envisioning this, and whether it is a bus tour, a walking tour, but get kids excited about the community itself. I was explaining to Dr. Conway, even connecting kids with community government, our local government here, and helping kids see themselves on how they can take part. What a great opportunity when we have young people who are serving on boards and commissions right here that they can help encourage our young people to do the same. And then lastly,
Jimmy, is that book that we had for the tercentennial, is that book still around?
Yes, we have some of those copies too.
And so maybe some of those could be put in too.
Yeah, okay.
And if you recall, there was a book that was given away as one of our Christmas Kris Kringle things.
Oh, yeah.
That I
from Jeff Walsh, or
yes,
right?
Ray ended up with.
Yes, he did.
I gave it. Mary Lou got it.
Mary Lou got it. And a week later, the admins gave it to me for my birthday. So that book can be included.
There's not a shortage of resources. We'll be building that course out in the coming weeks and months, but we're really excited about helping to build the excitement with our students about the pride in our community and all that it has to offer to them. So the last thing is that you've probably heard that there is a teacher shortage in America, and we are taking it head on ourselves and working to expand our club coursework to include teaching and education. There are two UConn courses that have been approved. One, If You Love It, Teach It. It is an entry-level education course. It's a survey course, helping kids really get a chance to explore K-12 as a teaching and career opportunity. And the last one is Introduction to Special Education. This will actually be pushing into LRU. We're going to finally take advantage of the resource right here in our building that our students, this is a one-year course. It will be taught actually by one of our teachers, former administrators who have experience in special education and in a preschool setting as well, to really help our kids see that as a potential career path for themselves. Education is a shortage area. Special education is absolutely a shortage area. And then lastly, contemporary social issues in sports. It is under the education umbrella, but it helps kids see that as a learning opportunity for themselves. So those are the courses that we are looking to go ahead and expand. It will include a partnership with Educators Rising, a national organization that will let our students compete in education-based teacher leader opportunities, not only here locally in the region, but across the state and if they move forward nationally as well. So lots of great things. That's part of our program of studies. Did anyone have any questions about the things that we are looking to add this year?
None of it increases the money that you might need to put some of that stuff in.
So because many of those courses right now we're already have an associated cost, so like an AP course, where there is a cost associated with those, whether it's the exam, whether it's the training, A lot of that is we're just reallocating some dollars. Most of the stuff we're able to, we're building ourselves with our teachers and Dr. Rafferty. So no, there's not really going to be an increased cost to run any of those. Any of the fees will likely just be a transfer of money that we're already budgeted to spend. But what a great opportunity for our kids with the college credits. We're very excited about that.
I agree.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you,
Dan. Okay. Okay, no questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Jen, Mrs. Olson. Okay, administrator reports. Do any board members have any questions on the material?
I do. I could.
Okay. And who was it for?
I have a few questions. I want to start with Mr. Chickering. And I don't know if, and I'm so sorry if I missed the Irving School report. I didn't see it in here. I'm assuming we sent one. I don't know if it's the same thing for you, but I was intrigued and interested in the operations. It said revised recess and lunch schedule began, 20-minute recess and 30-minute lunch. I was just interested in the overview on that and what caused the change and how you think it's working.
Sure. So we did change. We originally had a 30-minute recess followed by a 20-minute lunch. The problem that we're running into is we're having several coverage issues. So there were several occasions where I had to ask teachers to cover the 30-minute recess, but that didn't allow them to have the 30-minute lunch that they're entitled to by law. So that was brought to my attention as a concern. So what I've done is I've moved to a 20-minute traditional recess. It's mostly an issue for indoor recess because we don't have enough coverage for all the classrooms. Outdoor, it's a little easier to manage. I need fewer, believe it or not, I need fewer adults outside because they can manage larger groups. What we've ended up doing, though, and it actually worked out, was we've gone to a 20-minute recess followed by a 30-minute lunch. But I knew that kids, 30 minutes is a lot for kids. They get restless after about 10 or 15. So I went ahead and purchased games, Connect Four, Uno, chess, checkers. So I have a game cart that comes out for second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. So the kids know the rule is you have to finish eating first. But once they're done eating, they can grab a game from the cart. So now usually within the last 10 or 15 minutes of lunch, you'll see the kids playing checkers, chess, Uno, and Connect Four, which is actually quite nice. And it's good to practice skills, cooperation, collaboration. So in essence, they're actually still getting about 30 to 35 minutes of recess a day, but on paper, it's 20 and 30.
And Mark, are you doing something similar?
No, I do not have the same coverage issues. So I do not have to switch anything. So we're still on the opposite.
And I'm just curious. So I'm just I recognize and I thought it was a teacher contract, a teacher issue with the 30 minutes. So you're still able to give your teachers 30 minutes without advising?
We have more coverage options because of more people working at our.
Okay.
So it's a little different.
Thank you. And I did have just two other quick questions if I could. I'm good there. Ms. Conway, just curious, I know this, we hit into March. Have we locked in all of our spots for next year? Is that still going on?
So it's still a lottery. What we do is that right now, registration is closed for typical students. It opens up again in March. And then in March, everybody fills out the application. Anybody who had filled out the application for 25, 26, I still have their registration. So they're first on the list for next year. And then it starts up again the following year.
So if you didn't get in the previous year, you kind of moved to the top of the list.
Correct.
How many applicants do we have for how many spots?
So that's kind of hard to answer, only because a good many of the applicants that had applied for this year already found something else. So they found that they went to a full day daycare or a home daycare, or they've moved or whatever. So what I do is in June, I call everybody that was on the waiting list, ask if they're still interested in LRU, and then start up from there.
Okay. Typically, how many applicants do you get? Applications?
So right now, I would say in my drawer is probably 15. But we just had two openings for this year for students that had left. And I called five parents before we got two. So that's kind of how it works. That answers.
What's your number for this year?
This year we have 60. Well, we actually have 62 because we have two students that come part-time. Next year, we're opening up an additional classroom, so I'll have an opportunity to have between 15 and 18 additional students.
How many additional students?
15 to 18.
Okay. And so will you still have to turn people away?
Hopefully not.
Nice. My last other question, thank you, is sure. Are there people or students or children, I should say, who test in or who get a priority because of their special, because of needs or IEP?
Yes. So if they receive an IEP, we have to accommodate their services.
So they go, and I get it.
So
those folks, those young students move right to the list. They're in.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I clarify?
Sure.
I feel like you asked a different question. They don't get priority on the list.
Right. They're not.
They get, we have to recognize their IEP, but they don't have to get a spot.
Oh.
Correct. Yeah. They don't just automatically get a full-time slot. If there's not a full-time slot available, then we'll just give them their speech, their behavior, their developmental delay. So they might get 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day as opposed to 6 hours a day.
Okay.
So you still have to service them if they have IEP, but it's not.
Correct. They're not guaranteed a full-time slot. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I just had one more question for Rachel. Yes, ma'am. I was very interested in the Best Buddies weekly class, cooking class from Melcina. Miss Salamino, how long has that been going on?
That's been going on for a couple of years.
Really?
So they come down and do a bunch of different things. So they'll cook. They cook a meal. It just depends what they're cooking that week. So whether that's brownies or quesadillas or pizza bagels, but they come down here in the kitchen and they're with their buddies and they cook a snack and they work in the kitchen and
that's awesome.
With their aprons and gloves and figure out how to do that.
The best of being with Salmina. So
correct. And Salmina loves it. And, you know, she's got them cooking almost Thanksgiving dinners over here. So awesome. They are learning that kind of soft safety skills within the kitchen.
Thanks. Awesome. That was it. Thanks, sir.
I'll save you next time they make some cookies. I'll put them off to the side for him.
She just invited him to the sink.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a question for you? Okay, Jim, you might as well talk about what we talked about before while we're at it, just to get that to the rest of the board. As far as the you know, with all the storms we're having and they're on weekends, we're in a deficit. We're in a deficit, right?
Are we?
I don't want to say we're in a deficit yet without looking at my overall budget, but I will say from last year to this year for snow removal expenses, yeah, I'm about $15,000 more already than we were last year alone.
50?
15. So for this winter, this was up until February 11th.
We literally skipped two. Skipped 14 and 15.
Melissa, what did you say?
You're skipping.
We're on stuff. Can you do it?
Yeah. You jumped a whole section of the.
So are we just going to the facility report and not doing subcommittee and superintendent report, or what are we doing?
We're the administrators.
You're on.
So what we should have done is we should have went to the subcommittee reports, item number 14, and started with the finance committee. But it looks like what you're doing is going to the facilities report. Is that correct? Which is item number 16A.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah, they were. I spoke to Dean about that. They shouldn't have been we wanted them together. I should have realized that happened. But next time they will be together, all together rather than separate.
The subcommittee report and the administrator reports?
Yeah.
Okay. Including, so going forward, item number 14, 15, and 16 will be combined. Is that what we're saying?
I think 14 will be before approval of minutes.
Okay, so are we just going to go out of order for tonight? Is that what
no? We can go back to subcommittee.
I just want to know what
because we're try unless we're going to make a motion to move things. I think we should stay in.
All right, John.
Okay, finance committee.
Okay, no. Any other questions for the administrators that are under 13?
No.
Okay, none of the administrators have any additional information? Under 13? Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, 14, subcommittee reports.
Finance.
Yes.
Finance committee, nothing new to report, but we are meeting on the March 3rd at 6 p.m.
Right.
That's our next scheduled meeting.
Okay, negotiations, Melissa?
We have not met.
School and community?
Yes, we met a few weeks ago. We will have a first read. We are condensing the seven committees into three committees. And also, legislature passed a number of policies that we have to update our policies, which do not need a second read for it. We just need to pass it. There's only a few new changes in the two policies. And while I'm at it, can we condense all the policies into one motion? Or do I have to go through all of
them? What we can do moving forward with the chunk that we have like tonight,
yes,
is almost do like a consent agenda. We can put them all in one motion.
Okay.
All the ones that require a first read.
No.
That don't require.
That don't,
right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Policies as opposed to the bylaws. Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay. Plant and facilities.
Okay. So moving forward, the 23rd meeting Monday is no longer required. The bids have the city open up the bids. So that meeting is now canceled. I don't think we have a date for a new one. But the meeting's in regards to the bids for the chiller. All right.
Academic and curriculum. Mr. Rossetti told me that there was no meeting, so. Athletic committee.
We have not met. We will be meeting. We actually just moved, or we're planning to reschedule our meeting. I did cancel it due to the fact that everybody was on vacation on the 16th, so I didn't want to have a meeting when there was no school and follow suit as we do every other year. So I do plan to reschedule that as there are items that I'd like to put on the agenda.
Thank you. Student health and safety, Mr. Pepe?
Yes, sir. We did have a meeting. We talked about uniforms primarily, pretty much all of the meeting. And we made some recommendations that I believe are going to go to the policy committee. I don't remember all of them. It was a lengthy discussion. So we have those documented,
yes.
And that will go to the policy committee. Just minor. I wouldn't consider anything changes. Kind of codified things that we already talked about.
I'd like to say that I did put a uniform order purchase in and purchase one of the police zip ups for Gabe, and he really likes it, and it looks sharp. So they came out really good. Good job, City Stitchers.
We ended up, Ken, because I think you left that meeting. We elected not to move forward, not to recommend hoodies or even derby hoodies. So we elected not to do that.
I'm sorry.
No hoodies.
There was a discussion whether we should have allowed derby hoodies, and we chose not to do that. We thought that we wanted to, keep the polos in there.
Leave it up to
the administrators. They want to do it on a Friday,
maybe like once a week.
Yeah. And that's what that is in our list. We'll go to the policy committee, but I just met on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much history.
Okay, so right, so the finance committee is going to meet on that Tuesday that we normally have first meeting of the month, and if any of your committees needs to meet, you should confer with Doc and Dina so that they can schedule it. The finance is going to be 6 to 6:30, 6:45, so the next committee meeting would be right after that. Now, we won't have a regular meeting unless Dr. Conley has something that's an emergency.
So we're not going to have the committee as a whole, just be...
Yeah, it's just going to be the committee meetings.
Okay.
Well, and again, I just want to make sure if we do things, we do things right. I think I'm not... So we have a policy that said once a meeting is scheduled by the Board of Ed, the full board, which we did, then it has to be canceled. It takes a board action to cancel a meeting.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That on the policy of Dr.
Yeah, but we have to, if we're
that, yeah, it would have to be the board
changing the policy.
Other policy.
You would have to, yeah.
Yeah, the first read.
Unless we make the committee meetings as part of the meeting.
As part of the COW meeting? Well, the COW meetings are scheduled. What you put on the agenda for those meetings is up to the board. If you want to keep the meeting.
All right, we'll
hash it out, policy.
Yeah, we'll have to, we'll just keep the meeting then until we have to straighten out this other committee thing to go for when we change the three committees. So let's just keep the meeting on that Tuesday. I'm just trying to get it so that you people don't have to come on as much. That's the purpose of the three committees. It's the purpose of not having, when we established the committee as a whole meeting, that meeting was not supposed to be. I don't know how it got changed.
It's been like that ever since I got here. No, there is.
And those people before us, Ken.
It just became another meeting, and it wasn't supposed to be another meeting. You know, we're supposed to be for other things like committees and things like that. So, but anyway, let's just keep that meeting for now. We'll see if we can work out an agenda.
So do you want to?
But the finances meeting anyway at 6 o'clock.
Do you want to move it to 5:30?
I can't make it at 5:30.
No, our finance.
Oh, I was like.
Can't make it at 5:30.
Okay.
So 6 o'clock.
Okay.
All right.
And I told you, my wife is upset about this. She wants me out of the house.
No, shit. Only in the winter.
I think if it's not broken, we shouldn't be changing it.
Right, and I think the administrators are very happy that they don't have to talk too much either. But anyway, all right, superintendent's report.
That's it.
Okay.
You have my report. I just, Dr. Raffler would be speaking on some of the highlights this month as well, but one of the big highlights, including right through today, was mid-year review of our school improvement plans in each of our individual schools and coordinating activities with all of our teachers to be involved in that process throughout the past month as well. Legislature has started in session, so we've already begun with testimony and submitting both submitting in writing for this past Monday or Tuesday, and again tomorrow. So between the governor's budget and the number of education bills that came out over the past few days, submitted written testimony and will testify in person only tomorrow. So keep you up to date. There's a lot on ECS and excess cost that's being put out there, which is great from both parties. So we're hopeful that there'll be changes to the governor's budget that kept it flat. I'll certainly keep you posted.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions for Dr.? Okay, now we're down to Jim.
Good evening. All right, we'll start right with our quick report. We had quite a few heat issues. Irving, we had to replace a circulator that feeds the lower level classrooms.
Jim, you don't have to go over that.
Don't, all right.
Just hit on the extra money yep. that we need for the...
So
the
big part of the report is our winter snow removal operation costs. As I was saying earlier, as of January 1st February 11th, we are $44,547 in labor and materials.
Say it again.
Since January 1st to February 11th, we are at $44,547 for labor and materials for snow removal.
You're talking about overtime.
Yeah, but mostly a lot of it is we have a total of 73 and a half hours of double time for maintenance, 289 custodial hours at double time, maintenance is 74 and some change an hour. Custodials are $54.66. We've had more double time since January than we had in the last 2 years. And same thing with ice melt. We've used more ice melt now than I have in the past 3 winters. I just got another shipment in. I just want to bring it to the board because we just keep getting hammered with Sunday storms and holiday storms.
Maybe this week as well.
Possible. But I just wanted to bring that to attention because it's a lot.
On Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday.
I don't have what I didn't put in this, and I'll have it for the next meeting, what was our total budgeted for overtime. But I will say we're close to exceeding that.
Jump to 19. Oh,
me too. Okay, thank you.
Sick. We could actually agree on
that. So any other questions for facilities or strategic plan?
No, thank you.
Okay. Okay, approval of minutes. Motion.
Strategic planning? No questions?
I just asked.
Okay, cut.
Sorry. Okay. We're okay to move to 17. Is that what we're saying? Okay. I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the minutes from the January 6th, 2026 Committee of the Whole meeting, the January 15th, 2026 Board of Education meeting, and the February 3rd, 2026 Committee of the Whole meetings.
Second. Carl? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, financial report. Jenna? John here?
Yes.
Would you like...
Finance.
John, we're ready for the report.
Would you like me to do the motion first?
Yeah. Yes, please.
I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve the financial report for the period through January 31st, 2026, as recommended by the Superintendent of Schools.
Second.
Second.
Melissa, okay. John, you're up. Okay.
Good. Thank you. As you just heard from Jim, the winter really is adversely impacting our budget. Just a little context from what I can see, when you built this budget, you built a tight budget to start with. There aren't the obvious buffers in there to turn to, and you know, even the federal grants are spoken for with staff, particularly staff that have direct contact with students. So there are very few places to go. For example, as you see in the report, we just had a new grant applied for and approved by the state of Connecticut, the SEED grant. And thank you to the special ed folks and Rachel for helping me put it together. But it was already spoken for. It was $177,000. We put staff in there in September. So even though we got a new grant, we can't use it to help with things like this. But I can say also that all the plans you laid out in this budget are being carried out. So we're doing what we're laid down to do, but that doesn't leave too much room. Last month in your report, you saw Robbie's estimate of June 30th. There was a little money left, $11,000 and some change But just with some the usual kind of small things that happen, that's been whittled away. For example, we didn't have any spare walkie-talkies, and one of our walkie-talkies broke. So, you know, we had to go out and replace that and, you know, have a couple spares. So when what happens again, we had a student who was hospitalized, needed some educational services while they were hospitalized, just the regular things that go on, nothing large, but they quickly chewed away that $11,000 that was being predicted. So what you see on the report this month, there's no balance being predicted in the usual column at the top. And what I've done is I've asterisked the column of estimates because it excludes what you just heard from Jim. I'm sorry, that's not very good news, but we put this report together early. And
a question about that.
But yeah.
Does it also exclude the encumbered money that we won't spend? Like we have a vacancy sheet here with nine paraeducator vacancies.
It does. You'll see on the report, the very first line, that's probably one of the few ones that shows the vacancy you're talking about. There's less expected to be spent than budgeted. You'll see right there, $13 million and some change. So, yes.
Clarify, John, if I could. So that $13,305,079, I just want to confirm this. That's what we budgeted.
That's $13,003,000, correct.
I get it.
Yep.
$13,164,000 that you have an estimated cost.
Correct.
Does that include the encumbered money for the, like, again, those 10 paraeducators that we haven't filled? Like, are we really going to come in at 13? I mean, if you say
yeah, the answer is yes. The money's not exactly encumbered. It's budgeted. I did speak to Robbie about that, okay. But the answer is yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So the real story, though, is the winter. And you heard Jim talk about the problems with overtime and sand and salt and an estimate of about 44,000. You know, I think you'd agree with me. No one saw this coming this winter. No one saw the record cold, the snowfall. No one predicted it. And I think we'll start to hear more from other communities of the problems they're having. But the challenge, and I'll have a better number for you next month, is to predict what's happening with the heating cost and the severe cold we've had. What makes it a little challenging to project is last year was not a normal year at all, with the cogen turbine system being out in the fall. You know, that didn't come on until October this year. It's working right now, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. But when we look at last year, we really spent a lot of money on electricity, so it's hard to compare. Just a couple quick numbers. Last year, we spent $740,000 on electricity. This year, we're budgeting $450,000. So that's a drop of 40% in the budget. Now, with the chillers back, with the cogen back on, we're doing better month to month. In December, we were down 10%, but that's not 40%. And even our January cost was lower than December. So it shows it's kicked in, but we still have a long way to go. So I think just the first projection I could make is that if for the remaining five months, we spend what we did last year during those 5 months, we'll be about $20,000 over budget, but on electricity. But we have to look a lot closer at that. February was, you heard Jim talk, up through the middle of February. We haven't seen those electric bills yet. They'll be coming in, and there's just a lot of variables going into the formula to try and project. And it's tops on our list of things to look at, things that could be a financial concern, and we're trying to get clarity very quickly for you.
have a question.
Yep.
And I just want to understand a little bit. And if you said it, I apologize. The excess cost in the – we budgeted that we were going to get $830,369, and we're only getting $689,448. Is that is that just because we have less kids?
It's a combination of less kids, less funding. We never get an exact on it until you basically get your last check of the year, depending upon how much money the state has and how much is distributed to other districts as well. So the only thing you have to base it on, this is any district, is your prior years. We don't get those final numbers until into this year.
And you know, I'm not being critical, yeah. But it's $150,000 hit.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Very tough budget.
Appreciate
there, it. There may, as of last week, there may be a third excess cost payment or not. We don't know positive yet. Depending upon what's left. The governor for next year did put $40 million in his budget, which we think will carry through to the legislature's budget as well, which will be up and above the excess cost, which again is only funded at about 62% anyway. And that $40 million gets distributed across the state.
So where do we make up that like $140,000?
We'll be working on that, but we did receive PSD money that we didn't put into the original budget when it was passed. We were told we weren't getting it this year. We ended up getting some. So
there's that money.
That's not in the operating. This is just the operating.
But we're even now.
We're even in the operating budget.
I don't understand what we got to the before if it's an even. Because we're getting less money.
We're not through the end of the year yet this year. So I don't know if we're going to be even at the end of the year.
What about that in the summer when Robbie said that we got that hardship grant that you weren't doing?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and take a look. Yeah.
You mean the one that ended this past year? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, he said that we didn't, it wasn't budgeted for because he didn't think we were going to get it, but it was.
That's the PSD. Yep, Priority School District.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's the one the year to year, depending upon how many families in your district apply for and receive temporary financial assistance.
The 44,000 that Jim's talking about, that is also in.
That is not calculated in this yet, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
I think the AC just.
So why isn't it?
Feels like
why isn't it minus 40,000? It's not even in these numbers here. Okay. This report is run before that, yeah. So that it could be part of the packets and we can get it out.
So realistically, we're 44,000 at least in the whole.
Yeah.
We still have the not that I'm using it for that.
Again, Jim said it cost 44. Jim, maybe you can come back up, or maybe John knows. I'm sorry. Yeah. But
I think Jim would be.
You're not sure yet whether you've eaten up all your overtime budget.
Correct. I don't.
So you may not be over budget if nothing else happened after today.
Correct.
As an example.
Well, I will say we use a lot of the overtime come June too.
Yeah.
A lot of overtime in June.
For graduation and
yeah, it's not on my ledger, so I can't.
All the.
So you can give us that report next meeting.
Yeah, I'll bring it next meeting. Yep.
You know.
Anything else, Jack?
That's all.
Okay. Any other questions for John?
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Next.
Motion? All opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Okay, next. 19A.
How about did we approve the minutes?
We did do that. That was 17. That was the one previous. We did the minutes. We did the financial report.
Okay.
Now we're going to 19. Okay, so 19A. I'd like to make a recommendation that the Board of Education review the bylaw 912 standing committees as a first read as recommended by the School and Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Second. All in favor?
Wait. What?
Myself.
No. Do we have to approve with first read? First read?
Oh, the standing committee.
We have to approve the first read?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Okay. So all in favor? Aye. All opposed?
Myself. Aye.
One, two.
Three.
Three.
Erica, you online?
I can't hear too well.
Just made a motion. Someone, what, you want to tell her?
Not remote.
The motion was just made and seconded on the standing committee policy.
Okay.
19A.
And it was all those.
Would you like me to?
No, we did all the. We did. We just got to get Erica's vote.
Holly's missing. Holly went home. You said.
Erica, are you for or against?
Yeah.
19A.
Erica.
Don't we want to get rid of the first read? Yeah, but why are we voting against the first read? Don't we want to look at you vote against if you don't want it after that?
I know, but if it doesn't pass in the first read, you don't get the second read.
We don't even
want to
look at it
when
it is.
I read it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not letting the administrators talk because we're reading through. I thought that's what we were doing for all this.
There wouldn't be a second read. We'd have to go back.
Well, I made the assumption that we had to read ahead of time like we did with the administrator reports, and that's why they didn't come to the podium. So I don't – that's just what I assumed we were doing. I don't know if anybody else is different.
I think there's a motion in second.
Yeah, he's a little vote.
Yeah.
But what?
Well, we're just waiting.
Rebecca
for
is saying
Erica,
herself.
Did you see it?
Sure, what
it
we're
give,
voting on.
Give all the,
Erica, you there?
Give all the,
if you,
Erica, you're
if
muted.
You signed on. Or, do you want to look?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. If you click on the.
Just look at it.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
On the attachment.
Okay, sorry. I thought we were voting if we wanted these committees or not.
Right. So if you vote yes, you want the committees. If you vote no, you're happy with it.
Correct. I'm voting no.
Okay.
Sorry.
Why are you voting no on the first read?
Because I like the committees that we have currently.
But they're illegal to begin with.
They're illegal?
They're illegal because we have too many.
How does that make it easy?
Bylaws,
it's
I have
in
six
our
and
bylaws.
We have seven.
Don't forget.
When you were chair, we were using seven committees for all those years. And it says six.
So, well, due to respect, Mr. Chair, the motion fails.
Huh?
The motion failed. Can we go on to the next item?
It's 4-4, right?
Yeah, the motion fails.
It's not 4-4.
Right.
Oh, there is.
Well, due to respect, the motion
my
fails.
Mouth.
We got to go on to 19B.
Back up. Back to policy?
I will go back to policy.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again when Holly's here.
Okay, one.
And that'll reverse it.
The next one.
Well, if it goes back to
policy.
I don't
understand. What are you not happy with?
If it goes, well, I mean, we've already voted on it, but yeah.
No, but I just curious what
we didn't have it. Well, I didn't feel like there was a discussion about it for a while. There's a couple things I don't like about it. Truthfully, I certainly don't mind sharing with you, but we are 19B.
Okay, all the committees are disbanded. No more committees. We're doing it illegally. No more.
You can't
committees.
Do that either.
Yes, I could.
No, you can't. There's a bylaw that says we have
committees. We're following the bylaws, Jim.
All right. So then we should.
The bylaws, so there's no committees.
You should have the six committees. Then appoint the six committees. That's the policy. You just appointed committees a month ago. Whatever committees we have, you appointed, not me.
I know, but.
And you're making decisions because you're angry. Let's just talk about it. I agree.
Stop it right now.
I think we just, I mean, we need to be following our bylaws until the policy is changed.
That's the problem. That's the problem. We haven't followed the bylaws.
I understand you're stating that there's seven committees, that we've been using seven committees versus the six that are stated in our policy, or I'm sorry, in our bylaws, but we can't just disband committees because of that. We still have to meet on those six.
We're not doing that. Told that we can't do it, so we can't.
Okay, but why bring it up if that's something?
We had six committees. They're working.
I know, but we're
but not the ones.
If you want to turn around, the only committee that is not listed is the athletic committee. So if we want to take the athletic committee and put it into another committee and absorb it, then let's, maybe that's more of a conversation that the policy committee should have.
All right, so that's it. No more discussion. We'll just send it back to the policy committee and go from there.
If that makes sense. If that's what we should, everybody wants to do, if athletics gets absorbed by one of the other six standing committees, then maybe that's the conversation that needs to take place.
I will tell you one concern I have, if you're asking, is I don't have any issues with Dan, but I do not think that you should have the chair and the vice chair being ex officio members, because if you put that on a committee of three, that's, you have five members on a committee, and that's a quorum.
And I don't think that it makes sense to turn around and pick committee members every year when we are on two-year terms. That doesn't make sense either.
You can't have five. I don't think it's good practice to have five Board of Education members on a subcommittee. And the way that this is written, you could end up that way. And that's bad practice. That's poor practice.
The thing is that board members could go to any of the cup. They just can't vote.
But the board chair and the vice chair can. So if you put them,
they can't.
You said they're ex officio members. That means they have voting rights.
No, they don't. Ex officio doesn't mean you're a voter. No. And so the people that were assigned to the committee that aren't ex officio are the ones that are voting. If anybody else goes to the meeting, they could contribute, but they can't vote. So we'll move on. Okay, the next one is we're doing these all together, Doc?
We could. Yep. Those are read off.
Well, am I reading?
Did you already read these? Did you already read those off?
Is it I?
They're all individual numbers, so they're not a sequential, but they're individual numbers. So you can either read them separately or read them to accept the policy and do it as a single vote, all of, but it would have, you'd have to read off.
I'm just going to read them individually because I don't have them all listed in front of me, if that's okay. No, it's okay. I'm going to go to 19B. I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 5114, suspension and expulsion due process as recommended by the School and Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Second by Dan. Okay, all in favor?
I have a question. Doc, on this one, I just want to make sure. So really the only substantive changes is now if there's a suspension, a student gets a hearing.
Not necessarily a hearing, only if it's going to be a manifestation is the only time they get a hearing.
Because I'm reading C, unless an emergency exists as in the form is defined by paragraph A, no student shall be suspended without an informal hearing by the administration. Our student shall be informed of the reasons for the discipline and given an opportunity to explain the situation.
But doesn't that take place already?
That's what I was wondering. Does that happen already? Did we do a hearing?
Yeah, that happens in the school.
So this is just kind of codifying what we do?
Yeah.
No questions. Thank you.
They do it to us, yes.
Yeah.
Understood. Yeah.
But we're already practicing it.
Got it. Thank you.
I can move on to C. We got to vote.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And motion carried.
19C, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 5118.2. Educational opportunities for military children as recommended by the School and Community Relations and Policy Committee. Second, Melissa. Any discussion, guys?
Any discussion?
No, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Item 19D, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 6159. Individualized Education Program, IEPs, as recommended by the School Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Item 19E, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 1312.3/6161.12, library materials review and reconsideration as recommended by the School Community and Relations and Policy Committee.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Item 19F, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 1312.4/6161.13, library collection development and maintenance as recommended by the School Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Item 19G, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 1312.5/6161.14, library display and program as recommended by the School Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Yeah. Any discussion? Motion made about it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Item 19H, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 6171, special education, as recommended by the School Community Relations and Policy Committee.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
And last, item 19I, I'd like to recommend that the Board of Education approve policy 3171.1, non-lapsing education fund, as recommended by the School Community Relations and Policy Committee.
I do have a question about this. I'm sorry. Doc, it says the Derby Board of Education may request the town's Board of Finance deposit into a non-lapsing account any unexpended funds from the board's prior fiscal year. We don't ask them their permission, though, right? They just give us the surplus and put it in there. Is that correct?
Which line are you reading?
The very first paragraph.
Policy that you're reading. The only new stuff is the red.
I understand.
Okay, got it.
Sorry. But I'm just confirming, right? We don't ask we don't have to ask them for permission for the money. We're just
that's correct.
Okay. And I don't like how it says may request the town's Board of Education deposit into a non-lapsing account, because we don't have to request, because the statute no longer
requires you to do that.
Requires us to do that.
Yep.
So on this particular one, I think there's wording there that we should
edit. Yeah. So why don't we, if we could, we'll bring this back to policy. Thank you. And bring this back to policy and come back for approval.
Okay. So I'll reach out to Cave as well. Do we have to withdraw the motion?
Yeah. Do we have to? Can you please bring it up? Because now I'll put my computer away.
Yeah, if we could withdraw that motion. So whoever made the motion, if you could withdraw
the motion. Who made the second?
All right, so are we moving on to adjournment?
Did we?
No,
you just withdraw the motion.
Okay.
I would like to withdraw my motion, please.
Okay.
For item 19I.
Okay, I'm motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah, you screwed it up, Dan.
You're fourth bully.
All those in favor? Aye. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. All right.
All right, everybody. Drive safe.